Welcome to the Spring Contenders. I'm here with everyone's great mate, Dano, back in the den, mate.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've been in.
Yeah.
But it's good. Yep. Nice trip into the city.
Long winter. You sort of struggling along like everyone else
out
there?
Oh, it's been a grind, yeah. I'll tell you. Yeah, I mean, it's been great apart from that side of things, especially Saturdays have been brutal. But we've been there before. We just keep going.
Do you find the winter's hard or do you think it's just a...
It comes and goes. Like, yeah, just... good luck, bad luck type of thing. This winter's definitely been tough though, so I'm looking forward to it finishing, getting into some of these better horses and better tracks.
Yeah, well, let's do it.
All right.
So we're here to talk about the Spring Contenders. It's going to be a magnificent spring. I'll just bring up a couple of graphics to tell you what's going to happen. So we've divided up into five categories. So we're going to talk about the weight for age horses, 1,400 metres plus. That'll go up to about 2,000 metres. Then we've got one handicap in there, but they're all weight for age class horses. We'll talk about the three-year-olds, which were just two-year-olds and our three-year-olds, of course. The four-year-olds, we'll talk about the Golden Eagle. How could you not talk about the Golden Eagle? We'll talk about the sprinters, and then, of course, we'll talk about the cups. You'll see that little thing down the bottom there. Mostly look at grand finals. So we're mostly just looking at the big group ones, the grand finals, or maybe a bit of a lead-up to those grand finals. And when we do look at particular races, here's this next graphic. So we'll put the pre-post market up to give some context to the race. We'll watch some replays and, of course, get Dan's thoughts and tips. You ready to rock and roll, Dan?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
All right. So we're going to start with the Winx Stakes. So the Winx Stakes is on Saturday week, of course, won by the great mare many times. And we've got a great mare again, Via Sestina. So she dominates the market. We were talking when we were off air that she actually won this race last year about $10 or $11, didn't she?
Yep.
Yeah. So why don't we go and have a look? She trialed, you can see, August the 7th. So she's in the famous Yulong colours and she's got sort of what almost looks like a purple pom-pom. She's trucking up. Vauban's out in front for Waterhouse and Bot. You've got Fangirl dropping out the back. My comment here, Dan, would be that she seems pretty forward to me and ready to go.
Yeah, I mean, you couldn't, you know, want her to trial any better than this. I mean, it was a heavy track trial, so none of the horses are out to do much. They're all under a hold. Vauban was pushed along a little bit there, but... yeah, Via, she trialled great. Fangirl trialled as you'd expect. They're probably on track.
And let's bring the market back up again and just have a bit of a chat about it. Can you see any value there as we kick off for all the good weight for age horses?
Look, it's hard to see value. I mean, Fangirl's probably the one that I'd side with at this stage.
Mm-hmm.
She beat Via Sestina first up in the Apollo at 1,400 in the autumn. And she's the one that's likely to be more wound up for the 1,400 first up compared to Via, who's on the Cox Plate path. And I'll have a little bit more to say about that in terms of her. And, you know, she's now an 8-year-old when we get to that race. But, yeah, look, it's a pretty compressed market there when you got $3, $4, $5, $6, $7, the top five horses. So,
yeah, so it's, yeah, let's it's, just keep moving and we'll start to get a bit of a benchmark on where they're all at. Okay, so Melbourne's version of the first big weight for age races, of course, the Memsie. So that kicks off the Saturday after. So we get to see Antino. Lady Shenandoah, I do not think will run there.
No.
The interesting one here is you wanted to talk about Tom Kitten. So let's watch the Futurity from the autumn. So Tom Kitten is out the back in the Dali blue with the white cap. You got Pericles in the blue cap. But let's watch Tom Kitten and you can talk about what happens here.
Yeah, so he's still like two lengths off Mr. Brightside here at the 100 and eventually finds a gap and comes through and finishes about a head away and one bob after the line there, he's in front. So he was very unlucky in that run. Yatone for that, he won the All-Star Mile after that, beat Mr. Brightside. He's now switched to Anthony and Sam Friedman.
Yeah.
He had a jump out last week, looked very, very good in the jump out. And maybe just the change of environment, new stable might spark him another length, half a length. I think he closed the autumn just in career best form. He had a great prep.
Yep.
And given, you know, that reference there from first up in the autumn, I mean, it's $7. To me, he looks a much better price than all of those horses.
Okay.
I think Antino, you know, can obviously win but tends to need a run. Lady Shenandoah won't go there. Another Will's there. Mr. Brightside, Honest, but again, another year older.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Kitten's perhaps the value out of those. And maybe Evaporate there at $10 as well.
Evaporate is running this week in the PB Lawrence. So.
Yeah, so he may, if he runs well there, he'll no doubt go to the Memsie. So he may be one that turns up there with the run under his belt, with the fitness over some of these other first up horses. Mm. He's a, you know, promising type that the Hayes stable have always had a rap on and on his best rating. I think it was the Carbine Club maybe that he won.
When he beat Swift Falcon.
Yeah. Like he's, you know, right in the mix with some of those other horses. So, it's out of that list. I'd pick out Tom Kitten and maybe Evaporate.
All right, so let's move and we're now going to go to the famous Epsom Handicap. And we're going to talk about Autumn Glow. There's the market. Let's go look at Autumn Glow in the Derby Munro. This was her only start in the autumn. So there she is in the famous Arrowfield yellow and black. Pretty good win in the end. She was in a bit of trouble at the top of the straight, but she charges away for a good win. What do you think of her, mate?
Yeah, she's a potential star. I mean, I'm not telling anyone any secrets there. A lot of people think that. Just the way she, you know, really put the gap on there late, that was very strong on the clock, that race. The rating was very, very strong right at the top of the three-year-olds for last season. She may just be way, way better than anything she comes up against in the races she's targeting. Mm-hmm. But look, the Epsom's proven a tough race for mares to win. There's only been three win it in the last 20 years, I think.
Yeah.
Winx, Probabil, Secret Admirer.
Right.
She's potentially, obviously not a Winx, but she's maybe as good as the other two.
Okay.
But, yeah, look, $3.60 is just crazy price. Yeah.
Well, we were talking about off air. That just happened because Waller declared her on their weekly show.
Yeah.
And then there was a tiny trickle of money from the den, and they turned it from $6, $7 into $3.60.
Yeah, so. I mean, that's what happens in markets these days, right? So, look, as I said, she may be way, way better than them. But in terms of, you know, all the scenarios you want to be betting and taking $3.60 about a horse, that's way, way down my list. So, no value, but obviously a super chance in the race. Yeah, four-year-old males are probably been the best profile in the Epsom. If you backed all of them over the last 20 years, you're a mile in front.
Yeah. I've got one for you. One you highlighted to me. So Linebacker, this is him in the Randwick Guineas, turns the table on Broadsiding, who's second. Swift Falcon's trying to keep up with him. And you also got Aliana, who went on to bigger and better things. But it's funny, this is a... Remember when Broadsiding went past Linebacker in the Champagne Stakes a year earlier, but he fought him off well that day.
Yeah, so he was holding him there through the line. So he was gelded, you know, came back, won that race. You know, his rating's sort of right there. He's going to be, reasonably well off in the weights, I would think. He went from that race to the Doncaster, was very good, got a mile back, just too far out of his ground. I think he ran the best 8.64 and 2 of the race, and I think his last 400 was the best of the meeting or something like that. So it was a very good run in the Doncaster. We can see there he's $11 in that market, and with the, you know, the profile of those four-year-old males having such a good record, he's probably one I'd pick out. But again, like, you're not charging in to take early prices in a race like the Epsom, massive field, all that sort of stuff. Yeah.
All right, let's move to the King Charles. So we've got to watch Fangirl in the Queen of the Turf. She's the favourite, and you actually said that if you were going to back any of these favourites, maybe 450 Fangirl you could be convinced to do. Here's Fangirl in the famous Cerise colours, two off the rail, a tissue inside her. Steffi Magnetic coming on as well. Take it away, Dan.
Yeah, she's just so reliable. I mean, she just comes through the inside there, just forges clear, sort of asserts her class. It's not a huge margin, but, you know, I think she'll almost certainly go to that race. So that's a key thing when you're looking to bet pre-post.
Yep.
And she's just so reliable with her ratings. She's a massive sectional horse, so she can get back and reel off huge splits. She doesn't want a bog track, so that's always a factor. Put it this way, I'd rather take 450 her in that race than 360 Autumn Glow in the Epsom. Yeah. But again, I mean, it's not, you know, if you're passing those situations, you're not missing out on the best value of all time. But yeah, she's obviously going to go to that race, and I think she's deserved favourite. And providing she comes back well, she'll be shorter than 450 on the day.
And you want to go back to Tom Kitten again. So this is Tom Kitten's biggest win in the All-Star Mile. Mr. Brightside out in front. Another Will nearly comes down with Jamie Mellum on board. But husband Ben, look at it, nearly came down there. Husband Ben just goes on with it. And Tom Kitten, is right to say that this is his biggest win of his career?
Yeah, I mean, certainly, in terms of prize money and status, it is. And he finished last prep. He ran well in the George Ryder. He was third to Via Sestina and Dubai Honor in the Queen Elizabeth. So he's finished the autumn and all of those runs grouped together, the best of his career. So he's a later maturing horse that's found career best form at a good rating level. I assume that they'll want to go to the King Charles. I mean, it's huge money.
What price? He's not even on the page here. So
I think he's $11.
Yeah, so he's just off the page.
Yep. So just off the page there, probably at $11, I think. So again, there's a horse that I would be very confident will be going to the race, and he's got form around all the right horses. So again, when you're just looking to sort of find horses that are of interest and maybe appealing prices, he was one that stood out to me.
Time to get serious. Cox Plate. WS Cox Plate, the last one ever run at the Valley. Hopefully we're there on the day. You're very welcome to come too if you want. Now, this is the obvious, of course, Via Sistina. Where do you want? We've got a lot to talk about. Where do you want to start?
Well, let's start with Via Sistina. I mean, the Cox Plate last year, you guys were there. I mean, it'd be one of the most memorable in my time in racing. Yeah. I mean, just elite, world class. It's all been documented. I still think the track work incident early in the week had something to do with that, because she's never got close to that rating again. She won the Champion Stakes 2000 Flemington, won the Queen Elizabeth. Quite a few lengths off that Cox Plate. So she's the best horse in Australia. Mm. She's a deserved favourite, but she's now an eight-year-old mare. And I dug up an interesting stat on that. So in the last 20 years, or at least the last 20 years, as far back as I could check, there hasn't been an eight-year-old mare win a Group 1 or Group 2 race in Australia.
Not one.
So
not one. Not even a Group 2.
Not even a Group 2. So
that's incredible.
There hasn't been a lot try. Because I guess the good mares by this stage of their career have got nothing left to prove.
Yep.
They're off to the breeding barn or sort of elsewhere. So, and Via Sistina is undoubtedly the best mare that's going to go on to race as an eight-year-old that we've seen. So I'm not saying, you know, the stats mean anything, or now that she's suddenly turned eight, she's going to lose two lengths. Seven-year-old mares, you know, have quite a good record. Winx, Maccabi Diva, Bella Nipotina, a tissue last season. So it's not a damning stat, but I think it is reason to sort of pump the brakes. I mean, I think time catches up with every living thing.
Father Time's unbeaten.
Yeah, and Via Sistina will be no different. There will come a point that she's not as good as what we've seen. And, you know, $2.50 in a Cox Plate, which is still way down the road, is just crazy to think about taking that price, whether it's one out, whether it's in a multi or something like that. I mean, it's just pure... It's exactly the sort of behaviour that bookies want, right? Sure. Is to put up an obvious horse like that and just have people charging in thinking that they're morals. So we start to, you know, look for interest away from her, I guess, you know, while respecting that, she is the best horse in Australia and may finish the spring still with that mantle. Yep.
All right. So you asked me to bring up this one. We're going real out wide, which I'm excited about. There's a horse called Whirl. This is in the Nassau, a Group 1 race for fillies and mares over at Goodwood. It's just quite recent. She's out in front. Take it away.
Yep. So this is, Group 1 at Goodwood. It's only a small field, but she's out in front here driving rain. She just asserts her class late here, just powers away from this field. Like, her rating puts her in the mix for a Cox Plate. She's obviously not at Via Sistina's level yet, but the thing is, she's only a three-year-old filly, Northern Hemisphere, with Aidan O'Brien.
Yep.
She's only had a handful of starts. She's still very much on an upward trajectory.
Wooden Bassett, I saw too.
Yep, freak of a stallion, or looks like being that way. And I think when you're looking at pre-post markets and you're looking to bet well in advance, I think one of the big themes is that you're trying to find horses with some untapped potential, maybe a little bit of X factor, where they could be much better than we've seen so far.
You want to try to find the breakout star.
The breakout star, So she could be one of those. If she comes here, I mean, she's entered for the race, so there is some intention there. And she's like $15. So and she's won a Group 1 there overseas. So when you look that, we know on exposed form, Via Sistina is better than all of the local horses. So you start looking out wide for something that could come and surprise.
Yep.
I thought at $15, she's quite an appealing price. And Tino's right there. His Doom and Cup win's not that far behind Via Sistina. So he's definitely, I think he was $7 in the market there, which suggests something like a 75-25 split in favour of Via Sistina. So maybe they're a little bit closer than that, I think.
What about Treasure the Moment?
Look, she's there. I tend to think she's going to be a level or level and a half below certainly these Cox Plate horses and maybe some of the others. I mean, she keeps winning and she's been very good. But for me, her ratings have sort of just plateaued out, which in some respects can be a nice platform to sort of improve. But I think she's lost that sort of upward trajectory sort of, you know,
X-factor type. Aliana and Laddie Shenandoah have and all
that.
Yeah,
where I think they've still got a better sort of upward pattern. So look,
because a lot of people have Treasure the Moment, of those four big three-year-old fillies that are now four, a lot of people have Treasure the Moment the best of them all.
Yeah, not for me. Look, I don't think there's a huge amount between them, but I think, you know, Aliana... especially Aliana, because they're going to be in sort of similar distance ranges. Lady Shenandoah, to a lesser extent, I think have, you know, a slight edge on her and perhaps also, you know, a tiny bit more sort of upside potential. So, yeah, we'll see. So I think Whirl off that page for me and Tino to a lesser extent. I think he and Via Sistina should be a little bit closer.
Sure.
But, yeah, Whirl I think is a bit left field there in a Cox Plate.
And you wanted to talk about Sir Delias. So Sir Delias is Bott Waterhouse. It's in the Sir Owen Glenn colours, the light yellow, about to come up inside floating here. This is the Chairman's Handicap up in Brisbane not that long ago.
Yep.
Pretty emphatic win at the end. That we know that he's going to go towards the Caulfield Cup and the Melbourne Cup, but you want to talk about him as a Cox Plate hope. Away you go.
Yeah, so look, I'm not saying he's a good chance in a Cox Plate, but he's $26 in the market. That was his first run in Australia, $223 days off, I should say. He's won impressively there. Look, his rating's still around two lengths off, challenging a horse like Via Sestina at 2,000 metres. But as I said, he is $26 and he's being targeted to the Melbourne Cup. And I think there's a lead there through Fiorente.
Yep.
So the year he went to the, won the Melbourne Cup, he went Turnbull, Cox Plate, and then Melbourne Cup. Yep. He didn't go Caulfield Cup.
And Bart used to like putting horses in the Cox Plate, then on the Melbourne Cup too, didn't he?
Correct, yeah. So I think until, you know, there's comment from the stable otherwise, it just makes sense to me. If you've won a Melbourne Cup with a horse following a path, why wouldn't you follow that same path with another horse that that you think is potentially up to that race? So again, as I said, I'm not saying he's a good chance in a Cox Plate, but he is still a little bit untapped in Australia. And it would seem more likely than not that he's going to go to the race. So
cool. All right, we'll talk about the context of the Caulfield and Melbourne Cups a bit later on. Let's talk 3 year olds. I love it when the 2 year olds turn 3 year olds. Exciting time. So the Golden Rose will be the first big race for the 3 year olds. Let's watch Nepotism, because he is the favourite. Let's watch Nepotism win the Champagne. He's down the outside in the Wear It Bloodstock colours. Drops on them pretty well. What did you make of this?
Yeah, look, he looked to be in an impossible position there. He makes up a lot of ground to win. What I will say about that is the horses in front of him were stopping and hitting the wall. The lead sectionals in the last 400 were very slow. So it looks like he's, you know, powering to the line there. But in an absolute speed sense, he's not running that fast. It's just that the others are slowing. It's a combination of the two factors. And I thought he just peaked a little bit late there. He sort of had the chance to really put them away and just sort of got there in the end. Look, that's not a huge knock, but he is favourite for the race at this stage. He lacks tactical speed, which is always a thing I don't particularly like about horses. You know, he's not a sprinting two-year-old, so he's got that good profile to sort of be better at three. And look, he's definitely going to be right around the mark. But if we're talking about value and things like that, I don't think the market's missing anything with him there.
Okay, so we've got to introduce a new horse, Autumn Boy. So I remember I was sitting at home on a Wednesday and I watched a midweek race at Canterbury because I wanted to see a horse called Central Coast. Mm-hmm. It's Chris Waller-trained horse. It was very a dominant favourite, very short. Ran pretty well, and then this horse from nowhere came out called Autumn Boy, 50-1, also from the Chris Waller yard. Mm-hmm. Won that midweek at Canterbury. Then it's had another start since that. We're going to bring that race up now. So here it is at Eagle Farm. There's him trucking to the lead. So he was short price favourite in this. He's only had two starts, but he's going to go deep into the spring, it looks, and you're pretty high on him.
Yeah, look, I think he's, you know, a potential star of the spring for the three-year-olds. He won that race nicely on ratings and speed measures and all the different metrics. He's there on par with the Nepotism.
Yep.
That was only his second start.
Yep.
He's by the Autumn Sun, who is not a two-year-old sire. He's clearly the best two-year-old we've seen from the Autumn Sun so far.
Yeah.
He's with the Chris Waller stable. He's only had two starts. Everything just points to this horse being taken along slowly. He's going to be a lot better as a three-year-old. So I think in a race like the Golden Rose there, I think he's
still a colt, is he?
Yes. So I think, I believe so, yeah.
Yeah.
I think he's a better value than Nepotism.
Yeah.
In a race like that, I think, as I said, there's not much between them on their two-year-old form. I think he profiles better as, you know, if we're talking about probabilities of who might be three lengths better or more likely to be, I think he's the one.
Yep.
Everything points there. Look, outside of that, I don't see a lot. Wotan, maybe not a 1400, maybe Coolmore. Vinrock's sort of there, but may prove just a shade below the very best ones. Beedman will be Coolmore, same as Raging Force, I would think. Rivellino, decent, but he's sort of getting into the longer price ones. Yeah.
So the owners of Vinrock sold him for a big amount of money. I think heard $15 million to Yulong.
Yep.
Do you think that was a great deal for them and you would have taken it very quickly as well if you were the owner?
Oh, I think you always sell if you got a stallion, but yeah, look, he had a great two-year-old season. He won the size, I think it was, and does it from the front. He's got some sustained speed. Just depends how he spells. Like, his ratings are just a length off those sort of better ones at this stage. He'll be thereabouts, and he's probably fairly priced. You know, the market's reflecting that he's maybe just a shade below the higher profile ones.
Yeah.
And yeah, once these horses start resuming, we see one run that'll shape things a lot more.
Okay, let's go to the Caulfield Guineas. So a lot of Golden Rose horses will hope to go on to the Caulfield Guineas, especially if they look like they get over a bit further distance. We don't have any replays here because it's sort of a bit of a rinse and repeat. What did you see here?
Yeah, again, I mean, I don't think there's any value, but Autumn Boy would be my pick for the Caulfield Guineas at this stage for all the reasons we just mentioned. I'll be surprised if Woden ends up there, same as Raging Force. Beedman almost certainly won't end up there. All those other horses on the screen are, yeah, still, you know, a level or two below the sort of better ones. So, yeah, the Caulfield Guineas is a race where some late talent can emerge.
Like, and Private Life's a perfect example.
Yeah, yeah. And given the compressed nature of that market, I mean, you're not charging in to back anything there. Right. But yeah, as I said, Autumn Boy is probably my pick of the 2 year olds to go on, you know, beyond those sprinting distances and be a good 3 year old.
Let's move to one of my favourite races of the year, the Coolmore Stud Stakes. Now, we've got to go and look at a horse called Beedman who arrived on the scene. This is the Ken Russell at the Gold Coast. I think it was back in May. Horrible track on the day, but it just absolutely decimated them and got a lot of people excited. Tell us about him.
Yeah, look, I mean, you just don't see this in a Metro standard race. I mean, you can say, you know, the opposition's terrible or whatever, but it is at least a Metro standard race. The second horse there, Working Home Sunrays, went on to win two races in the Brisbane Carnival at her next two starts at listed level, I think it was. So there is some form there out of the race. And, yeah, you just don't – prior to that replay there, he was just trucking around the bend. All the others were under pressure and he just powered away from them. It was a wet track, so – you know, maybe that's an angle we want to see him do it on good. But I mentioned before about this theme of sort of X factor, and he's a horse that might have that.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, you see a horse win like that, which is something you rarely see, so it's always worth paying attention to. So, yeah, he's one definitely on the list as you know, a bit untapped. And, yeah, again, you know, the top of the Coolmore market. That's the nature of markets these days. But, yeah, he's an exciting horse to see him
and come back. You're close with Newgate. Plenty at stake for them. They spent a lot of money on these potential stallions. He's locked and loaded to maybe end up at Newgate as stallion if he can do the job on Coolmore Stud Stakes Day or one of these other races.
Yeah, definitely. Everyone there will be excited. That's what, you know, all of the breeders that race horses, and the breeders do race a lot of horses. They're huge owners. They're all trying to make stallions and win those big races. And, yeah, he's at least going to give himself a chance to do that. So hopefully he comes back and shows something first up and goes into that race. Yeah.
Sure. So on Saturday, Escher made herself part of the conversation, I feel. So this is on Saturday, just gone. D Lane on board. Clicks her up. Not much behind her, but she won with real authority, I thought. And I just wanted to put her in here and get a gauge of where you think she sits in the three-year-old conversation, but also there's talk that she might go around in the Moya, the Group 1 Wait for Age on September the 6th. What do you make of all that?
Yeah, look, she's two from two. She's won both races by a big start, so by a big space. So on that basis, you know, you can't say anything negative about her. In a rating sense, that race there, 95.5, so she's still a couple of lengths off competing in a race like the Moya.
Yep.
The Coolmore's typically a bit stronger than the Moya, so that gives you a sort of lineup there. There was three successive 1,000-metre races at Moonee Valley there, which provided a great reference to line up the times and sectionals and things like that. And when you do that with her race, you know, just suffice to say, couldn't rate her much higher than what I had her, which is that mark a couple of lengths below where you want to be.
Yeah.
But look, only two starts. That was only first up. She's still on the up. We don't know what her ceiling is. So, yeah, look, she's $15 there in the Coolmore, which I think is fair enough. The market reflects that she's still got a way to go. But
and she gets a couple of kilos off the boys in the Coolmore too, doesn't she?
Yeah, she does, yeah. So she's certainly promising. Beedman, I think Tempted's, you know, potentially very nice sprinting three-year-old filly. It was a great two-year-old. Raging Force burst onto the scene late with a couple of good rating performances. So he's going to be there. Woden, again, maybe didn't live up to the hype, but he was still very good as a two-year-old, unlucky in the slipper. So all those horses are going to be in the mix.
It's exciting, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I mean, it's great to see these races and to think about what each horse could do, and then we just, you know, run by run reveals more and everything starts to get shaped. Yeah. So, yeah, personally, I'd love to see Beedman obviously win the race.
Yeah.
Hopefully he can fulfill that promise.
All right, let's move to the four-year-olds. We're only going to look at one four-year-old race, and that is the Golden Eagle. What a race it has become. Autumn Glow up the top there. We haven't spoken much about Lady Shenandoah or seen anything of her. Let's go and remind ourselves how good she is. This is the Coolmore Classic. This is her trucking up in the South Sydney colours. Lady Camelot insider Firestorm about to drop. Over to you, Dan O.
Yep. So she wins the Kumul here against the older mares. You see Firestorm running home, but the thing to point out here is she gave Firestorm 6 kilos at weight for age.
Mm.
So that's a very relevant factor. She's a very, very good three-year-old, Lady Shenandoah. She finished the season right at the top of the rankings with the likes of Alianas and Autumn Glows. So I think she's going to be a very, very good four-year-old mare. I think we saw Chris Wallace say they're not 100% sure where they're going to head with her. She's the one they probably don't have fully mapped out yet. But, yeah, she'll be there in a race like this. I think Autumn Glow was at the top of the market there, 450. I think she'll definitely be in this race. You can only run in it when you're four, so they're not bypassing that opportunity. I think it's a month after the Epsom or something, so there's plenty of time.
Sure.
I'd probably rather take 450 about Autumn Glow in this race than 360 in the Epsom.
Yes.
Not that I'm charging into sort of back either. There was a horse there, Panja Tower, at $8 in the market. It's a Japanese horse.
Yep.
Who's still rated probably about a length and a half off the likes of Autumn Glow and Lady Shenandoah, so there's some reference there. There was one horse I wanted to highlight that's not even on the page.
So we're going to get right out wide. Royal Ascot, so La Botte, it's in the old Cole McKenna colour, so the line with the blue, about to get onto the fence, break out and be on the fence on the right-hand side, just outside the Godolphin horse. Over to you, Dan.
Yeah, it just gets chopped out there, disappointed for a run. This is a 30-horse race at Royal Ascot over a mile. The thing about this horse is an international that will very likely run in the race, trained by Harry Eustace at the moment.
Yep.
He's only had four starts. He's very much on an upward trajectory in his ratings. He's about a length and a half, two lengths off sort of the Autumn Glows and those sort of horses. But he's only, as I said, had four starts. All of the commentary around this horse is that he's a lovely big colt that's got so much scope to improve. The plan with this horse, because he is owned in Australian interest, is to always come to Australia in the springtime or later in the spring to be trained by Kieran Maher.
Okay.
And by all reports, he is definitely aiming at the Golden Eagle.
Yeah.
So again, he's a horse, untapped potential, ratings are, you know, competitive, only had four starts, plenty of upside, and he's like $26 in the market. And also, by all reports, very likely to at least be aiming towards that race.
Outstanding insight. Let's move to the sprinters. And we're going to start by looking at the Manicato Stakes. War Machine. We've got to talk about War Machine. He swept all before him over the Queensland winter. Let's go back and watch him winning the Stradbroke. Here he is trucking to the lead. Private Eye tries to keep with him. Yellow Brick runs the race of his life. But War Machine is too good for the Hayes boys.
Yeah, he went to a slight new level with the Hayes team there. Won the race here. What I will say is that he only had 53 there.
Mm-hmm.
So 100.5 rating. Look, he needs to be better to win at weight for age, at least a length and a half.
Yep.
The problem is in a race like the Manicato, it is very much the second tier sprinters that probably won't be in the Everest.
Yes.
So in saying I think he's probably a bit short there as favourite, there's nothing else that, you know, I can really say profiles better than him. So maybe by default he deserves to be the favourite.
Sure.
But yeah, I definitely couldn't take that sort of price early about a horse that still has to improve.
Yeah.
The key point being he only had 53 in the Stradbroke there. Barraquiel's coming back off a major injury.
Yeah.
But all the reports are positive. He's won a couple of jump outs. His McEwen win last spring was awesome.
Yeah.
That performance would very likely win this race. So he's won there, and it's no surprise he's second in the market. You know, horses like Neance are very promising, Alabama Less, Benedetta. They're all there. It's such a muddled bunch of sprinters, especially when you get away from sort of the best few. So, yeah, it's hard to sort of have too much of an opinion there. Skybird's one worth mentioning. Her Lightning win was unexpected, but very good sectionals there. She had, a pectoral injury
after that,
but she's on the way back, and all the reports about her are positive. I think we'll see her in the Moya over 1,000, and she may go to this race. So she's one I'm looking forward to seeing come back. She's always been like a sort of promising type.
Yeah.
And got the job done in the Lightning.
Fantastic. Let's move to one of the biggest races of the spring, the Everest for 2025. We've got a lot to unpack here. We're going to start by watching Ka Ying in the Chairman Sprint, one of its best wins. Look at that acceleration, Dano.
Yeah, I mean, he's the boom horse, and rightfully so. You just see there the turn of foot, and that's the thing that, you know, the best horses have. It's one thing to run overall time and, you know, run a fast 600 or something like that. But when the pressure goes on and you see one horse explode away from the others, especially at this level, which is a good level, that's when you know you're looking at elite talent. So he's got that. He's better than all our horses. He's a world-class sprinter at a time that we've got no world-class sprinters, which is unusual. You know, he's $1.80 though, so you couldn't possibly take that. He's never travelled out of Hong Kong to race before. He's got to come here, settle in. We don't know barriers. We don't know track conditions. He'll be the hunted in the race. Every jockey's going to be looking where he is and doing no favours. So, yeah, very much a rightful favourite. Yep. But, yeah, I mean, crazy if you're thinking about taking $1.80.
Okay, so you said, so he's the hunted. Let's look at the hunters. And the best way to do that, I thought, was looking at the all-age stakes. When Jimmy Starr drops on him with a really nice turn of foot as well, in the Aussie Kerr colours, of course, about to come into it now. You've got Briasa out in front. You've got Sunshine in Paris trying to come into it. And Jolie Starr down the outside in the yellow and black. Jimmy Starr too good. This was over 1,400 metres, but these first four across the line are probably our best hope to knock off Ka Ying Rising, correct?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, he'll be there. Private Harry's not in that race, who we'll talk about in a second.
Yep.
Jimmy Starr, big sectional horse. He was dynamic. I think it was the Oakley Plate that he won.
Correct.
Over 1,100 at Caulfield. Massive turn of foot from back in the field. So he can sprint as well. So, yeah, he's there with a slot. I think the Tab have him.
Yep.
So, yeah, he's going to be there as a chance. I mean, he is a very much a get-back horse that needs every possible thing to go his way. But, yeah, he'll be there somewhere in the mix.
Okay, the other main contender is Private Harry, as you said. Let's watch him in the Galaxy. Here he is going up to the lead now, the white with the blue cap. What did you make of this win?
Yeah, a lot of hype around this horse. I heard one of the owners the other day on radio very, very bullish that they don't think he'll be beaten this prep and Ka Ying Rising better look out, which is just great. I mean, it doesn't matter what you think. It's just great for racing. He's untapped, still on the up, still unbeaten, only had a small number of starts. What I will say there is that he is just forging clear of Front Page and Uncommon James with something like 53 kilos or 54. Can't quite remember, one of those two. So he does have to go to another level, but he's at least got that profile that he could.
Because the Galaxy's a handicap, of course. It's not
great. So, so he's promising. I'm really looking forward to seeing him come back as a four-year-old because he could be the really good sprinter that we desperately need at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
But again, the Everest is just really tricky with such a dominant favourite. And the bookies are giving nothing away on the other horses. They're probably all priced fair enough there at the moment, I think.
Before we finish the sprinters, I thought we'd just talk about the champion sprint. So Ka Ying Rising will almost certainly stay in Sydney and run in the Russell Boarding. That's that 1,300-metre race where they've got all the big bonuses and stuff attached to it. And I thought that might just make the champion sprint a bit of a more interesting race this year. Can you see anything there that piques your interest?
Look, it's you know, very much going to be all the Everest horses. But there is one horse not on the page there, $26, I think he is, Reserve Bank, who won the Goodwood. 100.5 ratings. He's probably a length and a half off, you know, length to a length and a half off some of those you're looking at the top of the market there. But what I like about him was that Goodwood win. He was a long way back off a below-average pace. He ran terrific sectionals to win that race. He was only a three-year-old there. He's another one on an upward trajectory. He had a very small setback after that race, so he's going to be coming back in the spring a little bit later and I believe specifically targeting this race. He's another horse that may just be, you know, a little bit better than what we've seen so far, and that would put him right in the mix with these other horses. As I mentioned, he's going to be specifically targeted for it. He's not going to be having a grand final in the Everest and then trying to sort of back up.
Yeah, and this is probably why I want to talk about it, because a horse like that, you know, profile so well for it.
Yes, I think he's of great interest at that race, like, you know, good speculative play, because he's not that far off them. He's only a four-year-old now, so it's still very likely that he's got upside. As I said, that Goodwood win, his sectionals, like more than 10 lengths better than standard the last 600, was, you know, a sign of a very, very good horse.
Yeah.
And his recent form, his career best on the up. Yeah, there's a lot, I think, a lot to like about him if he stays on track and comes back well, which stables seem very bullish. $26.
Outstanding. All right, it's time to move to the cups. And how do you feel about the cups this far out? They're bloody hard to line up, aren't they?
Yeah, they always are. I mean, it's fun to speculate and try and dig in and find theories. Very, very rarely works out. It's still interesting. You see the market there, Buckaroo. $11, couldn't possibly be interested in him. I mean, he was fantastic last spring, probably should have won the Caulfield Cup, but his autumn was just fair, three runs.
Even Wallace said they were disappointed by it.
Yeah, and he's now an older horse, so really what's your angle there? Middle Earth did enough in three runs in the autumn. And Import with Mar will be better this prep. It's got an overseas rating there that could see him measure up in a Caulfield Cup.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it just puts him in the bunch of chances.
Yeah.
So he's not really the... It's not like if he runs up to his overseas form, he's a clear-cut top chance in a Caulfield Cup. Aliana, I don't think will go there. I think she'll go to the Cox Plate.
Yes.
Chris Waller tends to be, reasonably conservative with his sort of lightly raced, talented horses, especially when they're four. Like Very Elegant, as a four-year-old, he took her to, I think, the Turnbull on the Cox Plate.
Yeah.
And then it was the autumn, she went to the Tancred and then the Caulfield Cup the following year. So,
yeah.
He possibly sees Aliana as his next Very Elegant. So,
yeah.
I'd be surprised if she ends up in this race. They might be a little bit more conservative. Sir Delius, we mentioned, may go Cox Plate, may go here.
And you wanted to talk, we're going to bring up, talk about half yours in the Calandra
Cup,
which
definitely.
We'll look at. Just before we do, so Treasure the Moment, I was watching a piece on racing.com last night with the new boss of Yulong, and what did interest me is they said that they might consider running Treasure the Moment in the Melbourne Cup, right? And so just say that Treasure the Moment's plodding along and they think, look, it's not quite up to weight for age, we're not going to go the Cox Plate, and they pivot and go, let's go Caulfield Cup, Melbourne Cup. What do you think about Treasure the Moment in the Caulfield Cup, firstly?
No,
fair enough.
No. Let's no. The reason I say that is because if she's not up to weight for age, because of her record, she's not a horse that's going to be getting in with 52 kilos in a Caulfield Cup.
Right? Sure,
she's going to be relative to weight for age. She's going to be sort of somewhere up there.
Yep.
So when you're carrying, those higher weights relative to weight for age in these big handicaps, you need to be like a serious Group 1 weight for age horse. Yeah.
Fair enough. All right, you wanted to look at half yours in the Calandra Cup, so. He's about to truck up in the black sleeves with the blue jersey. Just quickly, was sold in the Cole McKenna dispersal sale for $305,000, picked up by the McAvoys, and they've got a lovely horse here. Just savages the line, really. Talk to me about why you want to talk about it.
Yeah, I think he's a really promising stayer on the rise. Like, he's just totally dominant here. And again, he's not beating a huge amount, but he's just powering away from them late. I love that he... relaxes well in his races.
Yep.
He's got a big turn of foot.
Yep.
And in
he's
that
not
race
on page
well,
here too, which is even tastier.
Yeah, so. in that race there, they also ran good overall time. So he's got all those traits. He's just on that big upward trend. He handles wet. He won in Sydney a race, I think, either the start before or maybe two starts before that, where he just looped around the outside and just lapped them in the wet. So I think he's just a very promising stayer on the way up at the right time of the year.
I saw they're going to go to the Metropolitan and then onto the Cups, hopefully.
Okay, yep, that makes sense. He may still have, not sure if that where that win places him in terms of getting in races like that. He may still have a bit of work to do there.
Yep.
But, yeah, he's like $26. I'd every day of the week rather be taking $26 about him than $11 Middle Earth, Buckaroo and $15 Aliana, who may not even run or probably won't even run in the race. So, he's a very promising stayer, a locally trained stayer, I think. And there was one other horse at $26 called Trust Your Instinct, who's trained by Joseph O'Brien, who we know has already travelled horses here, won two Melbourne Cups with Rekindling and Twilight Payment, won a Cox Plate with State of Rest. So he knows what he's doing for a young guy.
Have you ever met him?
No, I haven't met him.
Yeah, I'm sure he'd like to have a beer with him.
Yeah, but he's just obviously a freak of a trainer to do that. So Trust Your Instinct, he's entered in the Caulfield Cup. He's won, a listed in a Group 3 race, his last two starts overseas. Ratings are right at the right level you want to be at to sort of get, a weight, not at the bottom, but he's going to be nowhere near the top because of his current record. Somewhere around the middle of those weights is going to leave him extremely competitive in a race like the Caulfield Cup. As I said, he has been entered. And Joseph O'Brien's won a Melbourne Cup and a Cox Plate, so I'm sure he probably wants to add the third one there. And I think he's, $26 as well. So I thought he was one like left field that's, worth paying some attention to and maybe hunting and just sort of seeing, for confirmation that he is travelling or otherwise. Yeah.
Fantastic. We're going to finish off with the Melbourne Cup for 2025. Let's bring the market up. Sir Delius dominates up the top via Sestina. Gee, I'd love her to run. There's no hope in the world of that happening, right?
Yeah, I'd love to see her run in the race. But, weights would be ridiculous. And they, as an older mare, they wouldn't sort of risk her looking after the horse and all
I'd
that
be,
type
If
of
I
thing.
Owned her, I'd be running it for sure. I'd be running it for sure. Let's talk about Deakin. So Deakin won the Roy Higgins back in the autumn. Here it is going to lead in the OTI colours, white sleeves, yellow and black. Berkshire Breeze tries to go past the big grey, but Deakin's too strong. Where does Deacon sit in the Melbourne Cup?
Yeah, look, I think he's a level off. I mean, the key thing is that he's earned his spot in the race here with this win, right? And, yep. and he showed good staying there. He's holding Berkshire Breeze through the line. Looks like they could have gone another lap and he would have held him off. Big gap to third. He'll be right down in the weights, and now they don't have to worry about qualifying for the race, so they can just manage him all the way through to maintain that light weight. Look, he's probably got to find another few lengths, I think, and he is a six-year-old, I think, now, so it's probably against him, but, look, he's in the race. So Delius, as we discussed plenty about him before, he couldn't possibly take $13 at this stage. Scandinavia is an Aidan O'Brien trained European. Definitely got the talent to come here and do well in a Melbourne Cup. Not sure if the plan is to come here. Look, Vauban, 2 years in the race, like couldn't possibly be interested. Admire Terra is a Japanese horse.
Yep.
His ratings are in the right range. Got no idea if he's coming here yet. But again, Japanese horses. We saw Warp Speed last year at like massive odds. Was a third stringer in Japan or maybe even lower than that. We know we always have to respect those horses. So, yeah, he's maybe of some interest if there was some confirmation that he's definitely coming here. And, yeah, plenty of other internationals there. It's, yeah, really just wide open at this stage.
All right, we've done it, mate. We've got there.
So, a lot of races. A lot to look forward to, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm excited. Geez, I feel ready. Hope you're already out there. So thank you very much for coming in. You put a lot of effort in. We really appreciate it.
No problem.
But that's it. We'll be back with the Saturday set tomorrow. We'll get the King Zone and the Fizzer in here. There's some really good racing coming up this week. We've got the three-year-olds in the Vane and the Cazette. Yep. We've got the PB Lawrence, as I mentioned. Rosebud up in Sydney. There's also the Regal Roll. I think Arkansas Kid's in that.
Okay. All the good races, all the good horses are slowly coming back.
Yep.
And hopefully we can get some good tracks to match and back some winners.
That's it. Thank you very much. Up the My den. Pleasure. Thank you for watching. See you soon.
Think, is this a bet you really want to place? For free and confidential support, call the number on the screen or visit the website.